Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 23. The Bible says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn and for the increase, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations." I want to preach this morning, if God will be my help, on "I'm going to use you." Amen? I'm going to use you. As we look at this and we see, if you go back and look at the first of this chapter, you see the nation of Israel, you see their slackness. They got slack on God and they begin to let their guard down. We can't be slack and we can't let our guard down. We got to stay focused and because the devil will infiltrate if we let him. Amen. So they had opportunities to stay close to God, and they neglected those opportunities. And the heathen came in. Amen. And a heathen will come in and take over if we'll let him. In the world that we live in, if we ain't careful, praise God, we let our guard down and we don't stay steadfast in the Lord, praise God, the heathen will come in and they'll take over. Amen? We see it all around us. It's a waxing worse and worse, just like God said. You say, "Pastor, why is it that way?" Because the heathen's taking over. Amen? Can I get a witness this morning? That the ungodly are trying to take over in every aspect of our life. But we have to just get back to God and stay with God. I mean, he said, but what happened in the nation of Israel, they actually become a reproach unto God. They had lost their reputation. See, they had a reputation as being God's people. And the heathen in the lands and the nations, they knew that they was something that was different, that was unique about the nation of Israel. Amen. But in the same way today, the church, Northwestern North Carolina used to be not only the Bible Belt, but the buckle of the belt. But if we ain't careful, praise God, we get lax in our relationship with God, and we begin to allow the heathen come in. And if we ain't careful, before long, we're just like the heathen. Or we become heathens ourselves. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you mean we can be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ and then be lost again?" I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, praise God, we can get into a place, a position where we begin to do the things that the world does instead of being mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter number 9 and verse 51, he said, "Those that keep my sayings shall not see death." Death is something that we worry about and we fret over a whole lot of times. But he said, if we'll listen to him, he said, if you'll pay attention to what I got to tell you, he said, if you'll walk with me, listen to me, be led of me, he said, praise God, you don't have to worry about death. He said, one day, praise God, they may lay this old body down, but praise God, your soul and your spirit will be with me. Man, that's our blessed hope today. And God wants to use us till we get there. So what he was doing, he was preparing the people of Israel, praise God. He was trying to minister their hearts so that they could be what he'd have them to be. We see God as he begins to prepare them, and in verse number 2 of 36, he says, "Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are our possession." See what it is? They said, you know what? Even those high places, those places were, he said, we're just going to come in and take over. We're going to change the way we do business around you. Amen? Praise God. I want to thank God for the way that you do business is with the Lord. Stay close to God Almighty, allowing the Lord to help you, praise God, being prepared as one of His people. Because God has got a plan. So we see that they had become a stink in the nostrils of God because they had got away from God, got away from godliness, a good way of living, praise God, a good way of doing right, of listening to God and doing things according to His will. That means doing things God's way. I want to say today, this morning, young, it's still not wrong to do things right. And it's time to do right now. Amen. Praise God. Just line up with God and prepare and allow God to begin to touch us. So we see the heathen come in and they begin to dictate to the people of the land how they were going to be, how they were going to act and how they were going to react. I'm glad we don't get caught up in that. Amen. There's nobody in here that would get caught up in that and just act like the devil, act foolish, amen, and do things that's contrary to the Word of God. Oh me, amen, we're all apt to do that if we're not careful. Amen, we have to be mindful of every second of every day because the devil is wily. Amen, he comes in so suddenly and causes us to do things that we know we oughtn't to do. And that's what he does. But God begins to prepare a people, and He's preparing a homecoming. I'm glad God's got a homecoming for us. If you look back over in verse number 6, He said, "Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains of Israel, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys." Now God here, He's talking to the land. Now if God loves His people enough to talk to the elements of world that He created. You say, "Well, preacher, what good did it do God to talk to the mountains and the rivers and the valley?" Praise God, He created those. Amen. Amen. And He's speaking to them, praise God, because He wants to pray. Just think about how much He loves us. If He's willing to speak to creation, amen, in order to prepare a way to get back to Him. I thought about that yesterday out there in the study, but I had me a spell. Sometimes that little old shack ain't big enough. Amen. Me, God had us a spell, praise God, that He loved us enough that He'd speak the creation on my behalf. He said, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury because you have borne the shame of the heathen." He said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame." Look at verse 8. He said, "But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come." Amen. So he said, "Hey, listen, I'm getting a," he said, "not only am I getting preparing a place, preparing for a coming," he said, "I'm preparing a place." He said, "I'm preparing the land." Amen. It's a place of righteousness unto the Lord. Look how he goes on and says in verse number 9. He said, "For behold, I am for you. I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, for all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and ways shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you men and beasts, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your own estate, and will do better unto you," now watch this, "than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Praise God. Ain't you glad? Amen. I thank God. Brother Billy's talking about those second chances and those third chances and those fourth chances that God gives you to get back in His good graces so you can enjoy the benefits of God, those blessings that comes from the Lord. What he was speaking about here is a place of righteousness. A place where we can get back right with God and grow in the nurture and admonition of a loving God. So God is preparing His people. Amen. That's what He's doing today. That's why we're here this morning. This is a place of preparation. Amen. Because the Bible had basic instructions before leaving earth. We come and we gather together to get the instructions from the instructor, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. He speaks to our heart and He gives us the directions. Now we see God is preparing His people. If you're ready nor hear it in verse 23, He said, "I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord. God, which I shall be sanctified when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix you up. He said, you've been in a mess. Said, you've been in a world. Said, you stink like the world. But I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to make you smell good, praise God. And I'm going to use you for my glory. Amen. It's time that we got the stink of the world off of us. Amen. It's time that we got to in a different place in our life, praise God, where God can use us for His glory. But we see here the Bible said that He's preparing His people. And He said that they had profaned His name. In verses, these first few verses here, 23, 24, 25, we see God, and these other verses above, that they used profane, that they had profaned God's name five different times just in these few verses. That they had profaned the name of God. Now what does it mean to in verses 23 through 23, what does it mean to profane the name of God? He said, it profaned my holy name. And in verse 23, he said, he profaned my great name. So they had violated the trust, amen, of God. They had treated even His holy name with irreverence. Now let me ask you a question. How many times do you use God's name in vain? In irreverence. And then how many times do you say, oh God, and you not be talking to Him? Amen. We need to be careful, amen, for what we do. Because He said, that's what happened. Said they had profaned my name. They'd used it idly. They didn't reference it and magnify it when they used it. If we're going to use God's name, praise God. I wonder why it is. We'll get to cussing. We'll cuss in God's name. Why don't we ever cuss the devil? Amen. Amen. We'll say, well, God this and God that. But why don't we ever say the devil this or the devil that? Amen. It's this old flesh we live in, praise God. But God says, I want to use you, praise God. Said, so you need to begin, we need to begin a process. God preparing us so He can use us. Amen. So He begins to apply our common sense, as we know. Amen. We can't use God's name as just some common thing that we throw out there occasionally. Amen. We ought to use it. If we use it, we ought to use it in reverence. We ought to use it in respect. When we think on God, it ought to be a thinking of reverence. Of holiness, of greatness. I mean, the problem with the world today is we got God in some little old box and we use Him when He's convenient, but God ain't a God of a box. God's a God of the universe. He's a great big God, praise God. It loves us and cares for us. Amen. So God is going to use you. God says, I'm going to use you. How's He going to use you? Amen. Number one, He says He's going to call you to Himself. Look at verse number 24. He said, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. God says, I'm going to call you unto me. That's what God says. He said, I'm going to use you. He said, I'm going to call you unto me. Have you ever heard that calling from God? Amen. Do you remember when God was speaking to your heart, He was calling you? Now, I'm not talking about when you went to church and you heard the preacher preaching and a thing, but I'm talking about when God Almighty, Holy Spirit, spoke to your heart. Come down to where you was, praise God, and begin to minister in your spirit. He said, that's what God says He's going to do. He said, I'm going to come down to you. He said, I'm going to call you unto myself. I remember the night. Did I ever tell you a story about when I got saved? Amen. In March of 1976, when Jesus come to where I was, and a little church in Oakland, Maryland, praise God. And right, I knew, I was right there with you. I knew I was an old sinner. I mean, nobody had to tell me at a 14-year-old, praise God, that I was an old sinner. My granddaddy hung me out over hell when I was seven. Showed me, he said, hey, we're old sinners. We're doomed and damned for hell. Smoke and all that, praise God. From the burning pit of hell. And I knew it was real. And I knew if it was left within me, that's where I was going to be. But a little old preacher up there in Oakland, Maryland, 1976, he said, listen to me, people. He said, you don't have to die and go down. Now, third Tuesday night I went, and the Holy Spirit was dealing my heart, and I didn't move. But He made it clear that night, praise God. He said, Jesus loved you, and He sent His only begotten Son, that Jesus died for your sin. It was like when He said that the Holy Spirit just poured into my soul, poured to saturate me from top to bottom, said, Jesus done that for you. All of a sudden, I felt like I was the only person in the auditorium. I figured I got that God Almighty, and I packed it off on that little old preacher. So that little old preacher, somebody's told him exactly how I am. See, I got to thinking, well, my buddy that had invited me to church to go with him to the meeting. Now, see, I didn't know at the time that they were the kid that brought the most people with them that week would get a prize. Amen. So I think Brother Gomer's intention was to just get the prize. I don't know that he was really concerned about my soul more than he was concerned about getting the prize. But praise God, I know on Tuesday night the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me. And I don't know, hey, if he hadn't asked me to go back on Wednesday night, if I'd had a walk or caught a bus, I was going back. Hey, it was something that was stirring down my soul that hadn't been satisfied. Amen. I went back on that Wednesday night, and that little old preacher, I thought to myself, one time during the service, I thought, yeah, them old boys that come with me, old Kenny and Gomer, them, they done ratted me out to the preacher. He was telling me about how sorry and no account, how wicked and vile I was. Amen. I said, yeah, you wait till the service over. I'm going to get them boys. That preacher looking right at me and telling me how no account I was. Amen. But it wasn't him that was doing prayer. Hey, it was him, but it was through the Holy Ghost of God. He was speaking to my soul. God was calling me unto himself. I didn't know it, praise God, and I didn't realize it, but God was wooing me and calling me unto himself out of the pit of sin that I was living in. You said, was you really that bad, preacher? No, I wasn't really that bad. But I told really, Billy said something good, but I wasn't really that good either. I was no lost sinner and deserving hell. Praise God. But the Lord Jesus Christ come to where I was. Amen. Well, I couldn't get to him. I couldn't reach up high enough. He come to me. And he spoke to my heart. It wasn't Gomer that told on me. It wasn't Kenny that told on me. Praise God, it's the Holy Spirit that was telling on my soul. Was showing me. See, I knew all about Jesus. I grew up, praise God. Hey, my mom and daddy never took me to church. You got parents that take you to church, you ought to be, praise God, you ought to bounce out of there and go just be just a rejoicing to get to go. Amen. With your mom and daddy, mama and papa. But I had grandparents that carried me to church. They loved on me and told me about Jesus. They'd weep and cry and talk about how good God was and wasn't ashamed of it. I come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, changed my life forever. And I'll never be the same. Amen. What about you? You remember that day? You remember that day? You said, preacher, I don't remember that day. Then you're probably still lost. Amen. You're in a good place to get saved. Amen. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't put it off. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us out here. He's calling today. He was calling them out. What was he doing? He's calling them out of the world. He's calling them away from the heathens. He is putting them in the good grace of God. He said, I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. In other words, he said, I'm going to sanctify you. He said, I'm going to separate you from the world. The Bible says we're supposed to come out speaking about the world, we're supposed to come out from the world. He said, we're supposed to be separate. When you try to be a Christian, live a Christian life, and people look at you funny, hey, don't worry about that. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you'll stay steadfast in your walk and your faith, people will see that, and it'll change their walk. Hey, they'll get the walking difference just because they're wanting to see where you're going. You know, that's how revivals start. Amen. We get excited about going to the house of God, the things of God, and praise God, and we get so excited, people start to want to go with us. And the next thing you know, it breaks out. So God was calling them unto himself. And he was clean. He was going to clean them by his word, verse 25. He said, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Now, at the top of the word of God. And you shall be clean. What will clean you up? The word of God. Amen. That's why the world wants to tell you, hey, don't go to church. Don't have no association with them Christian people. They'll mess you up. No, them Christian people, if they're truly born again believers and love the word of God will clean you up. Those people won't clean you up, but they can help you get to where you can be. Amen. That's why it bothers my heart when people say, well, preacher, I don't need to go to church to serve the Lord. You're messed up. Amen. Praise God. We need the church. We need the Bible. We need the Word of God. He said, you shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Amen. The filthy things of this world, the things that we chase after, the things that we put. You say, preacher, I don't have no idols. You may not have a statue of Mary or somebody on your counter, on your side of your bed, but praise God, we've got a lot of things that we chase after in this world. Amen. A lot of things that we put before God. Godliness. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of things. We have idols. These people tonight will lay out of church so they can watch the Super Bowl. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh me. Amen. You can go watch Fag Bunny. Amen. God Almighty, praise God, is more important than the things of this world. Praise God. He's more important than the things that we put up as our idols, that we think, well, this is more important. There's nothing more important than the Lord. Nothing. Absolute nothing. His Lord says, I'll take the Word of God and I'll clean you. I'll clean you up. Now, sometimes it feels like when the Lord's cleaning you up, I'll be honest, I've been there. But just it feels like the Holy Ghost of God has got a stainless steel scrub brush and He's trying to clean me up with. I mean, it's pretty abrasive. Amen. But that's because of our own sinfulness and the niceness that's on us. Sometimes it takes the Holy Ghost, that old stiff scrub brush, to get us clean. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's just hard. That's harsh. But glory to God, don't look at it hard and harsh. Look at it as a blessing from God that He loved you that much. That He had sent the Holy Spirit with the abrasiveness to clean you up. Amen. That's what we're missing in the world today. You know what, preacher? You just need to quit preaching hard, and you need to start preaching a little more mild. You need to be, you know, more loving. You need to pat on everybody and just tell everybody how good they are. Amen. I'd be lying. Amen. I'd have to stand and give account for that when I got to heaven. I'm going to tell you, you just like I am. We all need cleaning. And God said, I'll call you unto myself. He said, and I'll clean you up. He said, I'll take the Word of God and apply it to you so you'll be clean. Amen. He said, not only will I clean you, He said, but I'll clean you, but He said, I'll cultivate your heart. You know how to make things grow? You cultivate it. Amen. When the Lord came to the fig tree, there was nothing there. And He said, cut it down, cast it wide, let it stand. He said, hey, let me, the fellow said, hey, let me, the vineyard, he said, hey, let me cultivate it, let me dung it. Praise God, wait till next year. You got to cultivate it to make it grow. And God says, He said, I'll cultivate your heart. Verse 26, He said, a new heart also will I give you. Amen. Have you got your new heart yet? Come on now. Have you got your new heart yet? Amen. You say, preacher, how will I know? God's fixing to tell you. He said, new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Amen. He said, if you've got your new heart, that means your will changes. Hello? Amen. I mean, you don't want to do the things you used to, and you want to do the things, praise God, that you didn't want to do. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody with me know what I'm talking about? There's a whole lot of things I used to like to do, praise God, that I don't care much about no more. But there's things that I used to not like to do, praise God, I love to do now. I like the fellowship with people. I was always kind of a recluse. I was always kind of good to go about my own business, be by myself. Now, I still like me time, me and God. Amen. But praise God, I like being around people. I like being around God's people. That makes a difference, praise God. But He said, I'll put a new will in life. And He said, so that you can have a new relationship with God Almighty. He said, I'll put that in you. He said, I'll clean you up with my word. He said, I'll put a new heart in you. He said, I'll give you a heart transplant. Amen. That's old calloused heart that you had. God said, I'll pluck it out and I'll put a tender heart in you. Praise the Lord. He said, I'll give you that heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. Amen. He said, I'm not just going to make it over, but He said, I'm going to give you a new one. It's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be more loving, more caring, more compassionate. You know, preacher, I just don't have, seem like I've got those features in my life. Amen. You may still have that old cold heart. Amen. You need to ask God to take that old cold heart out and give you a heart, a tender heart of compassion. A heart of love. God changed my heart. It's totally different what it used to be. And he's making it more tender all the time. I remember how I used to be. And I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God to change me and help me to be more like Christ. Amen? Am I perfect yet? No way. I'm nowhere near perfect. You can ask my wife. Amen? But I serve a perfect Savior. It lives in my heart. It loves me. And I want to be more like Him. Amen? So He gives me that new heart. He cultivates my heart. He makes it different. He makes it better, praise God. Amen? And then when I get that new heart, He says, not only does that, but He also gives me a calming spirit. Amen? Anybody know about a calming spirit? Is anybody here ever apt to get excited? Don't raise your hand. We'll tell on ourselves. I mean, get excited, get anxious, get overly wrought with excitement. But He says, He gives you that new heart, and He puts in you a calming spirit. Amen. And you have that, and you have to be that. You have that willing heart. You have a new relationship with Him, so you start listening to Him more, and He starts giving you that calming effect. You don't have to go to the classes. You don't have to go and all that stuff. The Holy Spirit of God moves in you and He starts doing that for you. So you don't get as excited as you used to. Amen? Praise God, that calming effect, the calming of the Spirit that God puts in. It's that Spirit of God that lives in us. Anybody know about that? Anybody know the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Raise your hand if you do. Amen? Praise God. Because if you don't, then you're none of His. Let me just show you that. Look over at Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 8. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Your flesh can't please God. You know that? How do you know? Because God said so. He said, but ye are not in the flesh. In other words, still under that old human nature. But watch this. He said, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that means that to dwell means to take up its abode. Now that's not something that just comes upon you every now and then. That's the way the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it would come upon the saints and it would leave them because they was living under the law and He was trying to see if they'd be okay without Him. He was showing them that they couldn't, just like we can't. Amen? We've got to have the Holy Spirit every moment of the day. That's why God, when Christ died for us, that He sent the Comforter, the Spirit, the Consoler, to live in us, to dwell in us, and to keep us. Amen? Praise the Lord. He says this. He said, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen. Now, whose righteousness is that? Jesus. I told Sunday school, it's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But it's through the perpetuation, the price that Christ paid for on Calvary that we could never pay. He paid for us that we are the just. For the unjust, the one that was just, perfect, clean, and pure, died for our sins, yours and mine, so that we could be the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Because mine's filthy rags. You know, the ones that they would use to bind up the wounds of lepers. Those rags never be used again, had to be cast away, buried, or burnt. Amen. But He said, we're trusting in the righteousness of Christ. Life because of righteousness. In other words, the Holy Spirit becomes our agent before God. He said, but if the Spirit of man, Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, that's the Spirit of God. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit is, by the way. God's three parts, God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He said that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. That means to make alive. He said, that's dead, trespassed by sin, will be made alive through the Spirit of God that dwelleth in you. He said, therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Amen. He said, he's talking about that eternal death, where you die and you can just continue to die. See, when an old sinner rejects Christ and dies, they just don't die and go to hell and disintegrated and gone. They live in hell for eternity. They live in a place of anguish and torment for eternity. We got to be ready. If Jesus comes today, praise God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven to be with Him. I've made my call and election sure. Amen. If you live after the flesh, you shall die and die and die and keep dying. But listen to what he says. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, he said, when we put on the righteousness of Christ, God says, I want to use you. I'm going to use you. He said, I just need you to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Don't do the things that's wrong and do the things that's right. He said, just listen to me and I'll direct you. Verse 14, he says this. Now listen to this verse carefully. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It says we belong to Him. Are you His today? What's leading you? What's causing you to go in the directions that you're going? It's the Spirit of God. And if it's not, you're going in the wrong direction, I can assure you. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's present tense. Passive, submissive, praise God. That we're His right now. That we're following Him. We're listening to Him. We're being directed by Him right now. God wants to use you. God says, I'm going to use you because I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to put a calming spirit in you. Amen. And He said, then I'm going to give you a cumulative life. I'm going to begin to add to your life. It's going to be better than it's ever been. Amen. You say, preacher, I've got a pretty good life now. I don't know if it'd be any better. Praise God. Yeah, you got another thing coming. It can always be better in the Lord. Praise God. It can always be better. Listen to what he says in verse 27. He said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He said, when you start listening to me and you're doing what I tell you, praise God, things will start happening. The ball will start rolling. And it won't be rolling away from God. It'll be rolling toward God. Amen. Right. I'm glad it's like that. He's got a great old big catcher's mitt. So when you're going towards Him and you mess up and you trip, praise God, He'll catch you when you fall. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. Verse 25. He said, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I like it, don't you? God's going to be my God. In other words, that's personal. Amen? That don't say, oh, he's going to be Brother Jeff's God and Brother Bob, Billy's God and he's going to be Brother John's God. No, he's going to be our God. He's going to be your God. Praise the Lord. When we start rolling His way, He says, I'm going to use you because I'm going to be your God. And I'm going to bless you and I'm going to help you. I wonder how much we are a witness for Christ in the day that we live. Do we witness for Him when we go to the schoolhouse? You young people, do you witness for Christ? Do you tell them who Jesus is? Are you proud to be saved? Hello? When you sit down to eat your lunch, do you bow your head and you pray and ask God to just bless it and don't care who sees it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Being a witness, carrying the cross. Because the cumulative life that we have, the increasing life in Christ. Said He gets rid of the uncleanness. The uncleanness has to go. If you want to have a cumulative life in Lord Jesus Christ, if you want Him to add to you, the sinfulness has to go, has to be gone. And He began to bless you and help you. Look at what it says in verse number 29. He said, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness. He said, I'll clean you up. See, we worry about getting clean, praise God, but God said, I'll clean you up if you'll let me. He'll do the cleaning. And He said, well, I'll call for the corn. So what He says is, He said He'll, in this cumulative life, said He'll begin to add, amen? He'll add the corn and He'll subtract the famine. Amen? I like that. I got to think about that. You know, I thought, glory to God. He adds the corn. You know, we're living in a sin-cursed world. That's why it's so hard to grow a crop without the weeds overtaking it. And Brother Josh, I've never fertilized any of those weeds. But those weeds will overtake the corn and the beans if you don't keep them chopped out. You got to cut them off. You got to pull them out. You got to get rid of them or they'll overtake. God, that's what we got to do. We got to pluck out, take out, get rid of all the ugliness in our life, praise God, so that God can add to the goodness to the corn, amen. So it's cumulative in our lives, praise God, as we begin to see God adding to us and taking away the famine, praise God, that the pestilence that's there, amen. Verse number 30, he said, I will multiply. So now he's added, now he said, I will multiply the fruit of the tree. So he goes from adding to multiplication. So you start getting, such, he said, the fruit. So he said, I'll take away he said, I'll add to the fruit. He said, I'll take away the famine. He said, oh, by the way, so I'll go ahead and just take out that, the heathen too. That old offensive part, praise God, I'll take that away from you too. You won't have no desire. You won't have no need for that no more. Amen. So I'll put in the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. So you can have the good things. Praise his name. He said, if you'll just remember, verse 31. Now listen, I'm done. Hang with me just a minute. He said, then shall you remember your own evil ways. You remember how you used to be? Amen. I hope you can say, I remember a preacher. Pastor Jeff, I remember how I used to be. But I'm not that person anymore. I'm not perfect, but praise God, I'm headed for a perfect Savior. And your doings that were not good. He said, you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight. For your iniquities and your abominations. Said, you remember how you used to be? Does everybody in here remember how you used to be? Are you still that way? Amen. Is God changing you? Are you allowing, are you asking God to change you and mold you and help you to be different? Lord, you know, the Bible says patience is a virtue. Amen. Patience is a virtue. So you have to have patience in order to endure in this world. And it seems like the older we get and the more corrupt the world gets, the more patience you got to have. Because people have lost their minds. Amen. But he said we have to remember where God brought us from. We have to remember what God did for us. Remember where we were and where we could have been if it hadn't been for him. I remember, hey, Brother Alex, I know where I'd be if it wasn't for the Lord. I'd be an old lost man. My back broke, probably in hell. But I remember what God did for me. But look what he says. Let me just read the rest of this to you in conclusion. Verse 33, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities. You talk about adding to. And the way shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. People walked by and said, man, look at that. It just desolate. Ain't nothing there. That's the way they look at us, the way our lives used to be. I'm glad there's something there now, ain't you? Amen. Praise God. He said, verse 35, he said, they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and are inhabited. He said, then shall the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and planted that was desolate. And I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now watch this. And I will do it. Amen. God says, I want to use you. I want to use you as a preacher. I don't know. I don't know if I can be used of God. God says, yes, you can be. He said, because I'll do it. Whatever you need me to do, he said, I'll do it. If you'll just let me. Amen. If you'll let me, I'll do it. But will you let me? But he said, I'm going to use you. I want to use you. But you've got to want to let me use you. Is God using you today? Amen. Is he using your life? Is he using your life, your home, your family? Is God getting use out of you? Amen. Usury. Praise God, he's putting forth effort into you, but are you putting forth effort into yourself? God says, I'm going to use you. I want to sanctify you. I want to set you aside. I want to put you in a place where you can be seen and used for my glory. Because God said, I'm going to get glory out of you. He said, I want the people around you to see me in you.